AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello, good evening. Welcome along. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we build up to Scotland versus Croatia in the Nations League. Can I have some Braveheart music, please? Thank you.
Oh, not again.
I've not introduced you yet. We're getting to you in a second. I know you're the birthday boy. Bide your time. Your moment will be arriving very soon.
Hurry up.
Scotland, Croatia tonight in the Nations League. Who's Steve Clarke going to play? Who should start? And can we finally get a win? It's what, one win
and... 16.
One win and 16. We'll hear from our manager and also from the captain. Scott McTominay the captain tonight? He'll be the captain, won't he?
Or Andy Robertson, surely.
Andy Robertson.
Will Robertson play tonight?
Yeah, of course.
Play tonight, so Robertson will be captain. We'll be hearing from him a little later. And we'll also be hearing from our reporter, Gabs. Elsewhere, an independent review have ruled Rio Hatate should have seen red against Kilmarnock. What do you think about that? Was it a red card? Should he have been sent off at Rugby Park? And it's first versus second in the Championship. Big game in the Championship this weekend. It's high-flying Falkirk against second place Livingston. We will have the Bairns captain Cole Donaldson live on the show tonight to look forward to the big game tomorrow with Falkirk, with a chance to go 9 points clear of second place Livingston. So give us a call on anything you like, whether it be about Scotland, Rio Hatate or Falkirk or Livingston or whatever. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. I am Ewan Cameron. There is no Gordon Duncan tonight, so it's me that's in charge. And with me tonight is Super Scoreboard's very own Jack and Victor.
Yeah.
I'd very... be delighted to be Jack and Victor. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah.
They're Scottish icons. And yes, funny. Uh-huh. More than we can save at this presenter.
Exactly. He's a New Yorker.
There you go. You did ask us. So we are, yeah, we're dovetailing now.
We've only just begun.
I'm sure there's a song there somewhere.
There is. Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy are with us tonight on Super Scoreboard. Good evening, Hugh.
Well, it's like this. We need to get tonight and Monday in Warsaw out of the way. Then we can get back to the football. We've got a title race going on here between Celtic and Aberdeen. We've got a relegation dogfight going on between Hibs and Hearts. Your only advantage is that your team have a manager whose last job was Blackpool, so he's used to donkeys.
That was actually quite good. I quite enjoyed that. You know, he's trying not to laugh at that because he quite enjoyed it himself. But I'm surprised that in all your presentation there, in the link up to the programme, you didn't mention Kenneth Vargas.
We don't need to talk about Hearts.
Saying that you know, the standard of Scottish football was that bad that he's wanting to go and play at a higher level. So we'll not mention Hearts.
We don't did. Broadcast to Edinburgh in these, so we don't need to talk about the Jambos.
We're online. We broadcast all over the world.
Yeah, I'm not interested in talking about Hearts tonight because you two here are just to wind me up.
Right,
yeah.
Anyway, but the Scotland game tonight against Croatia, I think it's just important. I was a wee bit kind of concerned when I heard Steve Clarke mention, you know, just on the news there, saying we need to take care of the ball a little bit, we need to defend well and stuff. I would just like to see us letting the shackles off a wee bit, being a wee bit more flamboyant, taking a wee bit more risk, and ultimately being a bit more entertaining.
We will get to Scotland in just a second. We'll go live to Hampden to speak to our reporter Gabs in just a second. But the big news as we came on air, Rio Hatate's challenge at Rugby Park.
Yeah.
The referee made a mistake. The review panel said, yeah, you made a mistake. VAR made a mistake by not sending him off.
Yeah.
Was it the right decision not to send him off at Rugby Park, or should you have seen red on the day?
We had a six-hour programme last Sunday, starting with Kilmarnock Celtic, and when it happened, I said, he's got away with one there. He should have been sent off.
But my question to that would be, I'm playing devil's advocate here, the boy wasn't injured. He kind of pulls out of it. He doesn't go full throttle. He does lift his foot.
The ruling says endangering an opponent. It doesn't say must have hurt an opponent.
No, but I would argue, playing devil's advocate,
yeah,
that it didn't endanger the player because he didn't go full throttle. He didn't see it through.
Well, we come back to it. These people are supposed to review the situation, and their verdict is that Reo Hatate should have got a red card.
Do you think he endangered the opponent?
I think there was the chance that he did endanger his opponent. And I will say that when Joe Wright went into Adam Ida and bust his nose early on in the game, I thought there was an element of premeditation about that. I thought Joe Wright knew exactly what he was doing, so there could have been two red cards for me.
Jim Duffy.
Oh, was that the game?
No stranger to
a robust challenge.
A robust challenge in your career.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that you've instructed some of your players to put in some robust challenges into the opposition. So Reo Hatate, the review panel said that was a red card every day of the week. He should have been shown the red at Rugby Park, but was endangering the opponent.
Live, Ewan, I thought it was a red card. When I seen it live, I thought, that's...
So you were in the stand.
Yeah.
And you went straight away, first viewing,
that's
red.
That's red because, you know, he like studs it up. He's nowhere near the ball. And I thought, well, he's made impact with his shin. When you see various clips at various angles of it, I didn't think there was a lot of force. He did try and pull away.
Is that not the key, though, to that? And that's why the referee and VAR looked at him and went, do you know what? It's not full-blown endangering opponent. He's gone in high, but he realises it and he's trying to get out of it and get away from the situation.
That's how I read it. But obviously when the VAR panel's now decided that they thought it was a red, then Hughes mentioned they believed that it was an endangering opponent and therefore that constitutes a red card. So it's...
He's got
their interpretation.
He's got away with one.
At the time, I thought it was red, and then when I seen it later on, as we've said this before, a high bar yellow for me, but I personally didn't think it was a red once I seen it on TV.
Wright's challenge on Ida?
Yeah, I'm slightly disagreeing with you. When you jump up, if you actually look at that, Adam Ida jumps up with his arms by his side, both arms to the side, and Joe Wright jumps up, completely focused on the ball. But as a centre-back, you'll always put your arm out because you're actually throwing one out there to say, well, are you brave enough to go for this? And if you are, you might get a little clat on the nose. And then the next one, you're going to be brave enough. So if the ball comes into the box again, would Adam Ida go for it because he's already had a clat on the nose? So you're sending a wee message. You asked me earlier on, that type of player. And I think Joe Wright has sent a wee message out there, but I don't think it was a red card. He didn't swing the arm. I don't think he did. I think it was elevation.
He was trying to wake up Adam Ida. But it failed.
I mean, Jim Duffy's thrown a few arms in your career.
I've also had a few, by the way, if you look at the scars on my face.
I'm going to ask you, right, and you can be honest now, because you're no longer playing.
No.
When you've jumped up for a header and you want to leave a mark, or you want to say you're in for a game today, that's an intentional.
Yeah.
Right. So do you think that was intentional?
No.
But that doesn't make any sense.
No, I think he uses his arms to elevate. I don't think it was intentional to hit him in the face. I think it's one of those ones where he jumps up with his arms up and Adam Eder's got a choice.
But in the back of his head, he wants to
No, he's putting his arm up to say to Adam Eder, do you want to come here? Now, if Adam Eder doesn't need to jump, if you actually look, Adam Eder jumps in to... his arms are down. For me, Adam Eder should have had his arm up as well. And that's the difference. Adam doesn't, he keeps his arm down. So
have you ever intentionally jumped for a header and clocked someone in the face and you knew you were doing it? As in you've intentionally went out your way and swung
your
arm?
I'm asking you, as a player.
Have you ever forearm smashed someone?
No, I've not thrown my arm out to try and smash someone in the face, but I've went up to head the ball with my arm up knowing that if that player comes in, he's going to get...
So you give the benefit of doubt to Wright. And he doesn't deserve a red card for that.
For me, he doesn't deserve a red card.
Okay, let's go to Hampden. Scotland are playing Croatia tonight in a Nations League game. Gabs, our reporter, is there at the National Stadium. Good evening, Gabs.
Good evening, Ewan. Good evening, everyone in the studio. Good everyone at home. How are we doing?
Not too bad, my friend. And my biggest issue with the Scotland squad is that there is no Lennon Miller. And there were a few stories flying around as to why he was not involved with the Scotland squad. There was talk that he knew that he wasn't going to play and decided that he wanted to stick with the 19s. Was there any truth in that?
Not from what we can tell, Ewan. We spoke to Steve Clarke when he announced his Scotland squad. He doesn't like to go and delve too far into specific player inclusions or exclusions. Of course, you know that Lennon Miller was with the under-19s playing just a few days ago against Wales. And by all accounts, he played well, but wasn't necessarily a standout. And when you actually look at the Scotland squad, especially with the returning John McGinn in midfield, there are a lot of spaces, arguably the strongest area of the team for Scotland. So some people might say, why rush Lennon Miller into the team? His time will come, and it'll be really interesting tonight, Ewan, to see what Scotland and Steve Clarke do with that midfield with John McGinn returning from injury.
What do you think will happen tonight? You got any indication as to how you'll line up the Scotland team against Croatia?
Would expect it to be very similar to the team that he played against Portugal, the 0-0 draw here back in October. Be interesting to see if he does anything with the back four. Craig Gordon very likely to still start in goal and get his 78th cap for his country. Probably be Tony Ralston right back with Andy Robertson on the left. Will it be Grant Hanley and John Souter at the back again? Billy Gilmore was impressive last month. So was Scott McTominay. But Kenny McLean was as well. Is he going to be the one that drops out for John McGinn? I'd expect Ryan Christie and probably Ben Doak to be the wingers again. Doak giving you that little bit of pace that Scotland have lacked in recent times. And with Shea Adams injured, it will more than likely be Lyndon Dykes Leeds line. But I'll give you team news when it officially comes out, Ewan, at about 6:45.
Stay there, Gabs. Don't go anywhere just yet. So we are live on YouTube, and Gabs is at Hampden National Stadium, and he's on FaceTime, so we could see him there at the National Stadium. He's definitely washed his hair tonight, right? He's had a shave. I mean, you can see the wee designer stubble thing that's going on there. He's got the wee lines going and all that. I mean, he's looking quite the part tonight. He's made an effort for you two boys.
Well, I mean, I think when the cameras are there, you've got to be doing that for, you know, for Gab. But he's a good-looking boy, so, well, you know, why not? I mean, if you've got it, flaunt it.
Do you have a partner in your life, Gabs?
I do, Ewan. I do. A special someone, of course.
Yeah, do we know who this special someone is? Have you just made it up in your mind?
Where is this conversation going?
Keep it private.
Online,
right.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go back to the point he was making about Scotland. I was really disappointed not to see the inclusion of Lennon Miller. He played for the 19s the other night there against Wales. Yeah. He really should be in this squad. And I know that we're blessed with plenty of midfield options, but he's got to be in that squad. He's a future. Kenny McLean is as good as he's done. He's not the future for Scotland.
I do take Gab's point that it's the one area of our squad where we are rich in talent. But this is the week where Steve Clarke, for whatever reason, brought up the question of young men and how they're getting the conveyor belt of talent that he feels that Croatia have and we don't. You would have thought then it would follow that Lennon Miller would be in the squad. I can't believe for a second that Lennon Miller turned down an invitation to join the squad, because, I mean, his father, Lee, vastly experienced player in his own day, would surely have advised his son against that. So I don't believe that was the case.
But if you know you're not going to be playing or playing a part in these two games, and all you want to do is play football, then you would want to play for the 19s, would you not?
Well, no.
You still think you should be involved in the main squad even though you're not playing?
I think you should accept the honour that has been given to you.
But you'd also be really annoyed, wouldn't you?
You don't know how the game's going to go. You might get put on and be like Kenny McLean done at Norway. You might be the hero on the night. You know, you might be like David Marshall saves a penalty. But you don't know how the game's going.
He's played 57 matches for Motherwell. He's the captain of the club. Ben Doak's played 13 professional games.
Ben plays a different area of the pitch, and we're very light in that, as Gab said, that, you know, we're strong in midfield. I mean, looking at the team tonight, I think Kenny McLean might stay in the team alongside Gilmore and McTominay, and I think John McGinn might go to the right, Doak might go to the left, he might leave out Ryan Christie. That's how I would see the area of the pitch. But in terms of Lennon Miller, I think that he is a real talent, and I think it's only a matter of time before he becomes, you know, a regular part of the national side. You know, the full side. And but I'm with you. Under 19 football is not going to develop him. He's not going to move on. As you said, he's the captain of Motherwell. He's playing first team football, high level football, week in, week out. Gabs was saying there he wasn't outstanding, but it's harder because you're playing with all young kids. When you play with better quality players at a higher level, then your game is lifted as well. And you can see that with Lennon Miller. In the big games, he stands out. Aye. He's an outstanding young talent.
Yeah. Gab, stay there at Hampden. He's there for us tonight. Let's go to Robert, who's in Bayliston. Good evening, Robert.
Good evening, Paro. How are we doing, guys?
Not bad, good, Robert. How are you?
I'm very well. Still celebrating the wee victory last night in the sevens up in Aberdeen. I'm an Aberdeen fan.
Yeah, good stuff.
What a season Aberdeen are having. They've won the Masters and their joint top with Celtic. What a season you're having, Robert.
Looking for another star on his shirt for that last night. But
are you going to, before you make your point on Scotland, you're going to win the league?
No.
Well, you finished second.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
I have to say, by the way, we've rode our luck quite a lot, and especially against your team, you and the Hearts game. Hearts should have beat us that day. But we rode our luck, and as your guys will always know, you've got to have luck to get results. So I'm happy, delighted. I'm expecting it to come to an end every single game, but it's good to know.
I agree with you. I think it's fantastic. It's fantastic for Scottish football, and long may Aberdeen continue the challenge at the top end of the table. I think it's fantastic. And what it's doing to the game is you're seeing like the likes of Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer talking about on their podcast.
Yeah.
They're talking about internationally. Yeah. So it's created a buzz about Scottish football that we've not had for a while. So long may that continue. I'll get the guys' thoughts on that in just a second, but you want to say something about Scotland tonight?
Yeah, I'm sitting with my wee mate, John Cahill. We're off to the game tonight, and I'm a wee bit disappointed that Kenny McLean's not starting. I don't see why he should drop out.
Well, you don't know yet because the team hasn't been announced.
I thought the boy had kind of mentioned that. Is London Dykes up front, or is that not
the team's not been announced? 6:45 is when the team will be announced.
Aye, well, I would say they two are a given, surely. If we're going,
London Dykes is playing with a very, very bad Queen's Park Rangers side.
No, he's gone to Birmingham.
No, he's went to Birmingham.
And he's third choice there. He's not playing for Birmingham either.
He's not playing.
League One.
Tommy Conway's the one that's been doing well for
again.
Been doing well.
Again, you go back to Steve Clark's talk about the conveyor belt of talent coming through. Lauren Shankland, sorry, but if he merits a start, then where are we? Lyndon Dykes doesn't merit a start. Che Adams out injured. And if we are talking about the young and upcoming, when is Tommy Conway going to get a start?
Maybe tonight.
How would you have up front?
Tommy Conway.
Tommy Conway. He's playing well with Middlesbrough. He's scoring goals.
Yeah.
Lauren Shankland simply, I mean, last season, terrific. 33 goals. This season, one goal. And it's simply not happening for him. I don't know how that qualifies you to start an international match as important as this one is to Steve Clark.
Gabs, are you still there at Hampden? Can we go back to Gabs and Hampden?
Of course, Ewan. Still here.
Gabs, we've just been speaking to Robert there. He thinks that Lyndon Dykes should be a starter tonight. I think I agree with Hugh and Jim as well. Lyndon Dykes doesn't deserve a start, but is he likely to start this evening?
Well, it's interesting you say that, Ewan. I've just heard in the last few moments there may be some interesting team news in the shape of Tommy Conway. He could be coming in to start in the place of Che Adams ahead of the likes of Lyndon Dykes and Lawrence Shankland, that is. Now, of course, nothing confirmed yet. We're expecting team news at around 6:45. We're hearing that it may be Tommy Conway that leads the line.
Who's your source, Gabs? Reveal all. Come on.
You know, you and a journalist never reveals his sources.
No, but what about you, Gabs?
I think that's, you know, I mean, again, I think if you're looking at players on forum, he is the one out of all the strikers. We're not blessed with a huge complement of strikers, but certainly he's the one. He's had a good move in the summer, and it seems to have worked well for him. And you would think, again, but we have to play a slightly different style then, because he's not a target man. He's not, you know, a guy that runs into the channels with him. He plays on the shoulder. He's a different type of striker. And I think that can maybe make us be a little bit more proactive in how we play. playing somebody like Tommy Conway.
Robert on the line is saying that Kenny McLean must start. Why? Why, Robert?
Because of the way he played against Portugal.
Robert?
I'm presuming.
Robert's gone. Robert's had enough of you.
Right.
He's put the phone down, but he wants Kenny McLean, he wants Lyndon Dykes to start tonight. He's outside Hampden waiting to go in.
You know that my stance was that at the end of Euro 24 in Germany, that should have been a line drawn under Steve Clarke's time. However, he's still the manager. If we look upon Germany as a watershed, then we have to be looking beyond the Kenny McLeans of this world. He's 33, whatever, 34. Mm-hmm. We have to be looking towards the future. And for me, the future is not Kenny McLean.
Yeah, but if you look at Croatia, Croatia wouldn't say, well, we have to just look beyond Modric. You know, if Steve Clarke thinks that he's still the one of the best options available to him, it's his job to have him in the squad.
But Modric is still a Real Madrid player. Yeah. He's still, even at the age of 39...
I'm like, just talking about age. It was just a comparison of age, not in quality. I think Modric is world-class, we know that.
And that's why he's there, like Ronaldo with the Portuguese. I just think, good luck to him. He's had a good career.
But he's not for you. He's not for you, is he?
He's not for the future.
No, he's not. And I agree with that. It's just gone 20 past six. Friday night, Clyde One Super Scoreboard, 01419511025 is the number to call. We'll hear more from Gabs, who's at Hampden tonight for us ahead of Scotland versus Croatia. One win in 16. Will we get a victory tonight? Taking more of your calls next. And we'll also have the team news from Hampden as well on the way very soon. Stay right there.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with me, Ewan Cameron, tonight alongside Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans. Thanks for having us on. We're here until 8 o'clock. Scotland play Croatia, 7:45 kickoff at Hampden. Gabs is there for us and we'll get the team news very soon, but we are hearing stories that Tommy Conway could be starting for Scotland up front ahead of Lyndon Dykes, which is good news because Conway is playing really well for Middlesbrough just now, as is Ben Doak, who we expect to also start against Croatia. Stuart, we're going to speak to you in just a second or two, but 35 years on this very day, 35 years ago on this very day, Ali McCoy scored the first of two goals against Norway. I've got a question for you. So that was McCoy scoring 35 years ago tonight at Hampden in a 2-0 win versus Norway that qualified us for the World Cup in Italy. Right, so you'll remember that, Hugh.
Very well, yeah.
Were you there that night at Hampden?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. Great goal, chipped over the goalkeeper, into the back of net, brilliant goal. I'm going to ask you this question. Who's the better goal scorer, McCoyst or Dalglish?
Dalglish.
I'm not talking about the goals they've scored or how many goals they've scored, but who's the better goal scorer?
I just said, Dalglish.
McCoy, 61 caps, 19 goals. Dalglish, 102 caps, 30 goals. Now, I think that Dalglish is the better player, but is he the better goal scorer?
James Duffy.
Yeah, if you're just talking about goal scorers, yeah, McCoy was probably, yeah, up there alongside a lot of really terrific goal scorers. You said, as an all-round player, Ken Dalglish is...
Who's the best goal scorer? Jim, I'm going to ask you, as a former manager, right? And you've watched football for many a year, Hugh. It's the 90th minute. It's 1-1. We need a goal to get to the World Cup. The cross comes in. Who do you want at the end of it? McCoyst or Dalglish?
Dalglish.
Do you?
Yeah, because Dalglish has played and done it all at the very, very highest level.
But you want Dalglish on the end of that cross?
Yeah.
You think he's a better goal scorer than McCoyst? He's a more natural finisher than McCoyst.
He has the body of work. There's no point in reducing this to, you know, Alan McCoyst, all-time great guy and fantastic player for Rangers, with a capital F. Fantastic player for Rangers. However, when the ball comes over...
capital F, phenomenal.
No. when that ball comes over, in... Jim Duffy's estimation and mine, will take the uglies. If you happen to think McCoy's, good luck to you.
But I'm putting it out there because I think that Ali McCoy's, for me, is a better penalty box striker. If that ball's coming
in... But who we thought.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know if that's because... That's your era, maybe? Maybe because McCoist is my era?
No, listen, I played against Alan McCoist. So it's not a case of no respecting McCoist achievements, which were absolutely outstanding. It's more the fact is...
Who's more a fox in the box?
But they're different types of players.
That's my point. It's about goal scoring. I'm talking about strikers here. I'm not talking about players.
But you're now giving us cliches and fox in the box and all the rest of it. I mean, you've asked us, we've told you, our answers are non-negotiable. It wasn't about era, because I started in newspapers in 1970 before Ali was thought of as a Rangers player. It's not about anything other than instinct.
Let me put that out there. Because we've just heard Alan McCoy scored a great goal for Scotland against Norway at Hampden 35 years ago today to get us to the World Cup. When it comes to McCoy and Dalglish, and that cross comes into the box in the 90th minute, who do you want on the end
we'll
of it?
We'll be here till 10 o'clock with us.
Who do you want at the end
of
it?
We've already told you.
I personally want McCoy. I think he guarantees
me
a goal.
So we have to stay here all night until somebody agrees with him. No.
Well, you think that nobody would agree with me?
No, I don't think.
You don't think anyone would agree that McCoy is a better goal scorer?
There'll be plenty. But this whole premise here, we're going to have to stay here until you are shown to be the winner.
Is there no scenario where the famous Archie McPherson commentary where Martin Buchan's down the line and he crosses it in and Ken Dalglish comes in and heads it in?
That's too far corner in Cardiff, against Wales.
Let me put it out there. 0141 951 1025 is the number to call. Who do you want in the box when you need a winner to get you to a World Cup? Do you want Dalglish or do you want McCoy?
And that's the only two players you can pass. You're not allowed to bring anyone else into the equation.
Jim Duffy's just giving you an example.
Those two.
Of a goal headed by Kenny Dalglish that took us to a World Cup. What more evidence do you require?
Like, let's go to John, who's in Port Glasgow. Hello, John.
Hi, Ewan. Hi, Jim.
Hi, John.
And hi, Shu.
Hello.
Just want to be a quick shout out to my two best pals, Paul, Kieran Doonan, Tidworth, and Chris Muir. In Port Glasgow, not far from me. Anyway, I heard you've got a dispute, and I'm listening. My ears are bleeding, especially with you and Shue and Jim. I'm backing you two up, and I'm a better striker than Ali McCoist, and I'm ex-semi-pro.
No, this is not to run down Ali McCoist in any way, shape, or
form. Hold on a wee second. We need to find something out here. John.
Yes, Ewan.
What team do you support?
I support Glasgow Celtic.
Oh, there's a surprise, eh? There's a surprise. Why is it that nobody can just take the blinkers off for a minute and look at it for the way that I described it? I'm not talking about who's the better player. We've got two great Scottish strikers in McCoist and Dalglish. All I'm asking is, who is the best penalty box striker? Who is more likely to score you that goal, Dalglish or McCoist? In my opinion, I want McCoist on the end of that header. Or if it's bouncing around the box, 6 yards out, 12 yards out, I think McCoist gets there before Dalglish.
But we are thrilled beyond measure to hear your opinion.
I can't believe we disagree. John Robertson.
I know that, but I'm just suggesting that John clearly just got the blinkers on. That's my point. It's an argument we're never going to resolve.
But you automatically reduce us to that level by introducing the argument, because you know that one played for Celtic, one played for Rangers, and this is the West of Scotland. Therefore, you light the blue touch paper and you stand back. But
I haven't let in any blue touch paper at all.
John, give us your reasons, John.
Right. Jim and Shu and Ewan, you stay out of it. These two boys all understand what I'm going to say here. And they're going to agree with me. Two of the greatest goals that I've ever seen King Kenny scoring, Kenny Dalglish, was against Spain and Belgium. Uh-huh. Two identical goals, I think. He put with his left peg in the top corner. Jim, sure you would remember.
Yeah, very well.
Yeah, was that the game?
And did that not take us to a World Cup final, Shu?
Yeah, but I mean, this is Ewan Cameron we're talking about. We have to stay here until Ewan Cameron is proved correct. This is about nothing other than There's no argument here about football players, their capabilities. This is about Ewan Cameron and how long we have to wait until somebody says, I agree with you, Ewan.
0141 951 1025. We will find somebody who agrees with me. John is not that person, clearly. John, stay there. We've got some team news from Hampden for Scotland versus Croatia tonight. We could be doing with a McCoist or a Dalglish up front, but we won't. Who will be? Let's find out. Gabs is there for us.
Yes, you're a no McCoist, all Dalglish. It's Tommy Conway up front for Scotland this evening. One change from that 0-0 draw against Portugal a month ago. Tommy Conway coming in to replace Shea Adams up top, who's of course injured. And the other interesting piece of team news just coming out of the changing rooms here at Hampden Park is that John McGinn is amongst the substitutes. Despite returning from injury, the Aston Villa captain will start the game on the bench. So the team is as follows. It'll be Craig Gordon in goal, a defence of Tony Ralston, John Souter, Grant Hanley and captain Andy Robertson. The midfield will be Billy Gilmore, Kenny McLean and Scott McTominay. Ben Doak on one wing, Ryan Christie on the other, and it's Tommy Conway who leads the line.
What do you think of that, John?
Well, to these guys, to Jim and sure, I think that's a very, very strong team. And I called that team because Tony Ralston gets forward. He could put in a cross. Ben Doak's getting a chance to play alongside his teammate at Middlesbrough. I don't know if he's heard the accolade. I think it was Tommy Conway that made it about Ben Doak. Issue that Ben Doak is going places. Now, Jim, I think you had his grander, his late grander, under your wings.
Yeah,
and you played football with him as well.
Yeah, Martin.
I knew Martin very well, Jim. Never got his shoe on because I was ill myself, sorry. It's
getting
a bit emotional.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Martin was a good player as well, and his grandson. I'm sure he was very proud of him. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, John. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get generations that follow in their family's footsteps, and Ben Doak's he's an old fashioned type of player, Ewan, in the sense that he's very direct. Mm-hmm. He's a dribbler. He's pacey. He's not like a guy that just keeps the ball. His first thought is to try and get at a defender, get beyond the defender. And I think that's refreshing. And that's, I think, if you want to get back, you mentioned older players there. We like a wee bit of that traditionally. Mm-hmm. We used to have a number of those type of players. Sadly, they're few and far between now. But it's good to see Ben Doak being given this other opportunity right against a much higher opposition. You have to say that, than the English Championship at Croatia. Croatia will be a real test because they do dominate the ball.
Yeah, we do have a player in Ben Doak that would appear to be going places. Yeah. Very exciting future the boy's got. John, what do you think the score will be tonight?
Well, I heard you talking at the top of the show. We're that team, that's the ones I wanted to see because Christie's looking good doing the Premiership in England. Conway's coming through. I think Celtic tried to bring him up the road, but he went to Middlesbrough, which is a great move for him. Ben Doak, he's learning at Middlesbrough under a good team for Jordy Land doing about that. The Macams, or whatever you like to call them, I don't know what they're called. But I think it could be a close 2-1 to Scotland with Doak and Christie scoring.
Good lads. John, lovely speaking to you, man. You have a great weekend.
Thank guys, all the best.
Cheers bud. Robbie's in Falkirk, my neck of the woods. Good evening, Robert.
Good evening, Ewan. Good evening, Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans. Yeah, is this about your one on the strikers?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm actually just looking at Kenneth Dalglish. I know this is international, but we've got to take into account what they did and the ratio and all that is good goal scorers with their clubs. This is just league appearances with Celtic. He actually had a better ratio. It was a 204. This is just league appearances, mind. 204 league appearances, 111 goals. With Liverpool, he was 355 league appearances, 118 goals. So he was actually a better goal scorer in the 70s with Celtic. But I think that when he went with Dalglish and the partnership, it was dropping off. When he went with Ian Rush in the partnership with Liverpool, he was dropping off as more as a number 10, so he wasn't as an out-and-out striker, quite like what he was with Celtic. But in regards to Ali McCoys, what a striker he was. Ewan, I'm actually going to sit in the fence with this, and if I was to actually side, and I'm a Celtic supporter, if I was to side with anybody, I'd go away a smidgen with McCoist, because he has natural, especially even in the six, as far up as a six-yard box, he was absolutely fantastic. I want to just go up with some of his goals here. That one, West Scotland against Switzerland at Euro 96, top corner outside the box, a cracker. The Hugh, mind you, this one, the 4-each game at Ibrox when he drove at the edge of the box, and that's one where he kissed his boot. And here's one of the best diving header goals I've ever seen. And I've got to say, the one that Cavani scored at Celtic Park with PSG was a beauty. But see the one down at Elland Road when Haley crossed it in, and that one, McCoist had to put it into an angle. That was one of the best diving headers I've ever seen. And I'm a Celtic supporter. So as much as Doug Lees, and when you're talking about a complete player, Hugh can, that's because Hugh's seen him when he's playing. Doug Lees was one of the best Celtic players ever. He had a great scoring ratio, but he could play, and he had a brilliant telepathic understanding with Danny McGrain. He could play football better with the ball at his feet. That's how he became a number 10 and he played off Rush. But I'm going to actually side with Ewan Cameron. If pure striker instinct,
right,
and getting in the right area at the right time, I would just smidgen.
Hold on a wee second. Did you hear that, Hugh Keevans? A Celtic man through and through. If there was a goal to be scored in a European Cup final, he would want McCoist wearing the number 9 and not Dalglish.
Well, first of all, the question had no relevance to anything anyway, other than for you to stir up controversy in the west of Scotland. And also, now that you've got it, let that be your version of Cal Paul, and let's move on.
The other thing is that Robbie's going to be excommunicated from all these other fellow Celtic fans now for picking Ali McCoist over Kendall Gleeson, that's for sure. And Robbie, you better, if you're on social media, you better get off it.
Aye, and Robbie, not only did he have an opinion, he also backed up with stats, so we love you, Robbie, and you and me are best mates. I owe you a drink or two.
It's a folk thing there. He's with your neighbours. That's your next door neighbour.
Once you get past Cumbernauld, there's no point in talking.
Robbie, have a great night. Sorry, say again.
Can I come back in? I'll tell you, another great goal scorer who doesn't get the credit he deserves, and he was probably, I'm surprised at Celtic, and everybody in the panel will agree with me, especially you, Ewan, because it's a Hearts, because I'm going to be a partner back. John Robertson was an absolute fantastic striker. I can mind see another thing is as well, you'll mind this, Hugh and Jim, see when Celtic beat Hearts and all that 4-0, 3-0 and Aberdeen and Dundee United, I'm thinking back, I was a young boy in the jungle, and I used to go to the Hearts coming to Celtic Park, and it was even the centenary season, 86, 87 season. See, for Celtic to beat Hearts, Dundee United or Aberdeen 3-0 or 4-0, think of that never happened. You're going out away to Tannadice, away to Tynecastle, they wide scorelines, Celtic 4, Hearts 0. Never happened in the 80s. Never happened.
No, you're right, you're right.
I worked for a newspaper in Edinburgh from 1980 to 1997, and Robbo was in his prime, and he was terrific, the old ace of Hearts. Great time to be in Edinburgh at that point.
He was unlucky, wasn't he? Because there's so many great strikers at the time with McAvaney, McCoist, etc., etc., etc.
It's funny, we cannot find a striker for love nor money now.
I know.
You've just rhymed off
all these
half
great
a dozen
strikers that we had at the time who couldn't get a game for Scotland. Charlie Nicholas, I mean, there's so many.
There's loads of them.
Robbie, thanks for that, mate.
Derek Johnson scored 30 goals.
That's
never get taken to the World Cup.
I know. Robbie, thanks for that, mate. 01419511025 is the number to call. Now, you've just heard us pay out £300,000 to Jan. Now, this is your chance to win a massive £400,000 with the Christmas cash countdown. Stop and think for a second about just how much money that is. It is £400,000, and for your chance to win it, text yes to 61025. That's yes to 61025. Text for 250 plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries cost 250, or call this number 0330 880 4523. Calls charge at standard rate, over 18s only, and all the rules for this rail network competition are on the website. Lines close at 5 p.m. next Friday. That's when Kate Thornton will make the call. It's so simple to be a winner in this competition. Just answer your phone, we'll give you 400. It's a guaranteed winner. Somebody's got to win it. For your chance to win, text yes to 61025. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're back live to Hampden with Gabs. It's Scotland versus Croatia in the Nations League. And who's a better striker in the box? Would it be Dalglish? Would it be McCoist?
Shut up.
With a Celtic fan with all the stats, and Hugh's no liking it. Ha ha. Get to your calls next. Stay right there.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen.
Head to at Clyde SSB on X now. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
If you have just joined us, I just want to apologise to Hugh Keevans on his birthday week that I've upset him by suggesting that McCoist is a better goal scorer than Kenny Dalglish.
No.
He's upset.
I mean, not at all upset.
No, you are.
Because people give their opinions and we, Jim Duffy and myself, said Dalglish. And the caller, Robbie, simply said by a smidgen that he thought it was McCoist. I love Ali McCoist to bits. Great guy. I'm happy that you have been made happy. As I say, it's verbal calpol for you.
Got ya. Stevie Clark is the manager of Scotland, but for how much longer? It's one win in 16, but he's still very much in charge tonight for the game against Croatia. Here's what the Scotland manager had to say ahead of the game.
We have to defend well. I think we have to do a little bit better with the ball. We didn't quite get enough possession against Portugal. With the little bit of possession that we did get, we showed that we can create some chances. So that's what we have to improve on. Defend like you defended against Portugal, but add the extra layer. Maybe when we get to the final third of the pitch, find that little bit more quality that allows us to create not just a chance, but a goal chance, a chance to score. Of course, it would be nice to finish with a couple of victories, or at least one victory, and set ourselves up for a good year next year, for sure.
It's not been great for Stevie Clark since the summer. Even before the summer, before we even got to the Euros, it wasn't looking particularly great for us. But I think we've played well during this Nations League and we've been a wee bit unlucky. We've created chances, we've scored goals. We haven't been hammered. We haven't. And we're more on the front foot than we were at the Euros. And I know it's one win in 16, but has he bought himself more time by the way that we are playing during this Nations League campaign?
I always believe that he'll get as much time as he likes because the president of the SFA, Michael Mulroney, and the chief exec, Ian Maxwell, will not go near Steve Clark, will not be critical of him, and he'll be there forever.
So what if it does turn out to be one win in 18, we lose tonight and we lose to Poland?
He'll
still be there.
Who's going to go and tell him?
Jim?
No, I think that you're kind of painting a more optimistic picture, I think, than a lot of the people. I think that I don't think we've played great in a lot of the matches. I think there's been a lot of the games where, listen, there's been mitigating circumstances. We know that, injuries and all these sort of things. But take all that, you know, and considering all of that, I don't think my performance has been great. Even the Portugal game, we've got a lot of plaudits for drawing nothing each with Portugal. We really didn't, you know, cause too much of a threat. So I would just like to see us playing a little bit more expansive. I think that there is a structure in place here. Steve does like to play it a certain way. He does like to have certain players in that role. When he first came in, you looked at McGinn was scoring a lot of goals. Then McTominay was scoring a lot of goals. We know we don't have a natural striker. That's kind of dried up a little bit. I'm surprised that John McGinn's not playing tonight. I know that, you know, we mentioned earlier on that Kenny McLean played well, but I think...
But McGinn's also in and out of Villa as well just now.
Yeah, I know, but he's still a top... I think he's still a top Premier League player and I think he should be in the team. But anyway, regardless of that, I just think this has been a bit more expansive, taking a wee bit more risk, a wee bit more on the front foot. Again, you played the clip there and Steve was talking about being better defensively staying strong defensively, keeping the ball a bit better. But I think we've got to take a bit more risk, play a few more forward passes. And, you know, we have to play a slightly different way because we don't have a target man striker, as I say. So when the fullbacks do get forward, there's no point just throwing in a hopeful ball into the box. We have to try and be a little bit more creative in the last 30 yards.
Stuart is on the phone. He's not happy with the Scotland starting 11 tonight for Croatia. What's your issue with the starting 11, Stuart?
Hello?
Hello, yes, Stuart. What's your issue with the starting 11 tonight? If you turn the radio down, you'll be able to hear us better.
No, I can hear you. What I think is, don't get me wrong, I think Ante Ralston has done brilliantly for Scotland in the past. He was brilliant for us in the Euros. But Nicky Devlin, I mean, he's been brilliant for Aberdeen, and then even the last 10 minutes against Portugal, I think he's proven his point. And I think personally, for me, he has done brilliantly for Aberdeen so far this season. I think he's the start, because Ante Ralston hasn't started the game for Celtic this season. And that's not nothing against anybody for it, whoever's played for Celtic.
I think
Nicky Devlin should be in there the night.
Always feel sorry for Ante Ralston, because people always look at him as our weak link, and he doesn't play regularly for Celtic. He's honest as the day is long. But I agree with Stuart. I thought that Nicky Devlin had a real chance tonight, because Ante Ralston doesn't play for Celtic, only in little cameos here and there. And Nicky Devlin is part of this Jimmy Tielan revolution at Pittodrie, and very much a big part of it. And he had that thrilling debut where he comes on as a sub and helped save the day for Scotland with the late block. I just thought he would have had a chance tonight. But Ante Ralston, whether it's Celtic or Scotland, gives his all and never lets you down.
I think Nicky Devlin's unlucky.
Yeah.
But Ralston hasn't put a foot wrong for Scotland in recent games, especially since we've gone to a back four. I thought he looked a bit like a fish out of water when we were at a back five at the Euros. But in a back four, I think he's been excellent.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that in a back four, he's much more comfortable. Obviously, he plays that way with Celtic and has done so for a number of years when he does get his game time. So therefore, he's more relaxed in that shape. We mentioned Steve Clarke is loyal, and he does like to, show loyalty and return to his players. So the likes of Ralston, who hasn't done anything wrong, it would be harsh to leave him out. I understand from a current perspective, Nicky Devlin is playing week in, week out and doing very well. But if you just take, as you mentioned, during the international matches, that Ante Ralston, then a similar sort of argument could be made there for Kenny McLean. Well, if he's in the team, like any team, if you look at it, if you're done well, why do you deserve to be left out? So I'm not surprised that Stevie Clark has kept Ante Ralston in. But I do get Stuart's point of the form that Nicky Devlin been this year has been very, very of a high set. I think he won Player of the Month as well, didn't he?
He did as well, aye. Yeah. And he scored a goal, didn't he? So I get the point. It's a really good point, Stuart. Just very quickly, does Devlin throw his toys at the pram and get kind of annoyed and angry that, hold on a minute, I'm the one that's playing week in and week out, and this boy's getting ahead of me who can't even get a game for Celtic?
Simply not his temperament.
He's not that type of guy.
No.
What would you understand that, Jim, as a player? You're playing your best football. You're top of the league. And you're not deemed better than the boy who's a sub at Celtic?
No, not really. Yes, and you can be frustrated. It just depends how you deal with your frustration. There are players, and I think particularly international football, we do it all the time. We're doing it tonight. You know, there's so many opinions about who should be in a team, who should be in the team, who should be in the squad. We mentioned Lennon Miller there. You know, there's always going to be debates about who should be selected at this level. And I mean, up until the last game there, Nicky Devlin wasn't even quoted, you know, and no one was really, you know, rattling the cage for Nicky Devlin. So for the last couple of seasons, Aberdeen have been torturous. So this season has been a complete and utter turnaround under Jimmy Tilleen. And part of that upturn in the Aberdeen's form has meant that Nicky Devlin's form has went through the roof as well.
Right, news at 7 is on the way very soon, but first we need to set up Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, if you want to play Beat the Pundit, give us a call now on 01419511025. That's 01419511025. You'll be up against either Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy. Easy victory for you tonight. These two are not great. I think you lot out there are going to beat Jim Duffy or Hugh Keevans. So give us a call now if you want to play Beat the Pundit, 01419511025. Let me just check something. We got loads of balls in here. Oh, see the balls. Look how many balls we've got. We've got a box full of balls.
Plethora
of balls. Signed balls to give away. I may give away more than one.
Ooh,
I know.
You better have checked with the producer.
No, I don't need to check with anybody. I'll just do it. 01419511025 is the number to call if you want to play Beat the Pundit next after news at 7.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Nearly 7:05. Good evening. It's me, Ewan Cameron, in the hot seat tonight on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Gordon Duncan is off. He is working at the game at Hampden tonight. And alongside me, our very own Jack and Victor. Thank you. Yeah. Cue the music.
Well done. Timing to perfection.
Hugh Keevan's Jim Duffy here with us tonight. And at Hampden, we have Gabs, our reporter, will be with us again just after 7:20 to give us an update on what's happening with Scotland and Croatia tonight at the National Stadium in the Nations League. And we'll also be speaking to the Falkirk captain live tonight, Col Donaldson. Big game in the Championship tomorrow. The top two go against each other. Falkirk versus Livingston at Livy's ground. And Falkirk are currently 6 points clear. They win tomorrow, they go 9 clear. And they'll have one hand on that trophy, possibly for promotion to the Premiership. So Col Donaldson, Falkirk captain, on the show very soon. But first, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's now time to play Beat the Pundit, and I cannot believe this is happening. Martin is on to play Beat the Pundit. He is the groom. He got married today, and he's speaking to us live from his wedding. Is that true, Martin?
Slightly early, you and the wedding tomorrow.
Oh, the wedding's tomorrow! But still, should you not be like, what do you do in the night before you get married?
Get a facial, you know, make sure you're looking your best.
You on Beat the Pundit, you and apparently a pal put you on Beat the Pundit, that's what we do.
Is that what you do before a wedding? You go and beat the pundit and hopefully win yourself a signed football?
I mean, I was hoping for a night invite for Gordon DL, but a signed football will do.
So you don't
want him, his reputation getting anywhere near your wedding?
I went for a
Jim, you're more than welcome if you want, by the way.
Just because you know I don't drink, I'm a cheap date.
I went for a night out right before my wedding and was apparently saying, I'm getting married in the morning in the middle of Cobowie Road.
A wee bit worse for wear, were we, Hugh Keevans?
Ever slightly.
Yeah. Martin, will you be having a few drinks after you play Beat the Pundit ahead of your wedding tomorrow?
One or two to settle the nerves, mate, yeah.
Lovely. Have you got the best man with you?
I've got the two of them here, yeah.
And who are though? Who are they?
Ryan and Matt.
Ryan and Matt, okay. And who are you marrying?
Heather.
And how long have you known her?
3 years.
So, you know, you know, after 3 years, you know if that's the person you want to stay with for the rest of your life.
I get married 9 months after I met my wife.
9 months, yeah. 3 years. So you'll definitely know, won't you, Martin?
What's that, sorry, mate?
You definitely know that Heather's the one.
I'd hope so. We've got a lot of money invested in it.
And they say the match is dead. Yeah. Martin, you better make sure your speech is more romantic tomorrow.
Yeah. You're hanging by a thread, Martin.
We're going to send her a clip of the show to her. She might not turn up tomorrow. Okay, let's do it. Beat the Pundit. You've got Hugh Keevans or Jim Duffy. I'm going to flip a coin, heads or tails. I'll let you call the birthday boy, Hugh Keevans. Heads or tails?
Heads.
Heads you are. And I can tell you, Martin, you are playing Hugh Keevans. Yeah. They're celebrating in the background. You're playing the legend that is Hugh Keevans on Beat the Pundit tonight with a chance to win a signed football. Now, here's the thing, Martin. You're playing, know your best men that are stood there beside you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way that they're not going to be writing the answers down very quietly.
So we're going to put Hugh Keevans, we turn him off and we're going to put some music in his ear and he won't hear a thing that is going on. We've lost him, haven't we? Is he gone? Has he definitely got the music on? He's got the music on. Okay, let's do it, Martin. It is now time for Beat the Pundit. We're going to put 60 seconds on the clock, answer as many questions as you possibly can. And if you score more points than Hugh Keevans, we will send you a signed football. You ready, Martin?
As I'll ever be.
Okay, so we'll start the clock when I ask the first question. What was the score the last time Croatia faced Scotland at Hampden?
3-1 Croatia.
How many yellow cards do you need to receive in the SPFL before receiving one game suspension?
3.
Who do Rangers face in their first game after the international break?
Pass.
What nationality St Johnstone striker Benji Kimpioka?
Zimbabwe.
Tommy Conway currently plays for which English side?
Bristol City.
What number does Adam Ida wear for Celtic?
9.
Who had more cancer, Croatia, Dado Perso or Nikica Jelovic?
Perso.
Okay, I gave you an extra question there because you were pants, but let's find out if you beat you or no. Right, so let's do this. You ready, Hugh?
I am.
Okay, beat the pundit is. It's over to Hugh Keevans. Question number one. What was the score the last time Croatia faced Scotland at Hampden?
2-1.
How many yellow cards do you need to receive in the SPFL before receiving a one-game suspension?
2.
Who do Rangers face in the first game after the international break?
Dundee United.
What nationality is St Johnstone striker Benji Kimpioka?
Zimbabwe.
Tommy Conway currently plays for which English side?
Middlesbrough.
What number does Adam Ida wear for Celtic?
9.
Who had more caps for Croatia, Perso or Jelovic?
Jelovic.
Okay. You ready for this, Martin?
Aye, go on then.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you did all right?
I'm blaming the audience. The pressure got to me.
Okay, let's go through it. What was the score the last time Croatia faced Scotland at Hampden? You said, Martin, 3-1.
3-1.
Hugh Keevans was right. It was 2-1. So 1-0 to Hugh. How many yellow cards do you need to receive in the SPFL before receiving a one-game suspension? You both got this wrong. It's 6.
All right.
Who do Rangers face in their first game after the international break? Martin, you said hee-haw.
Yep.
You said nothing. You just passed. I mean, you could have picked any team at the other 11 in the Scottish Premiership, but you decided to say nothing. It was Dundee United. Hugh Keevans got that right. What nationality St Johnstone striker Benji Kimpioka? You both got it wrong. He is Swedish. Tommy Conway currently plays for which English side? You said, Martin. What did you say, Martin?
Middlesbrough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't, but I'll give you. Yes, you, you did say Bristol City, but I'll give you Middlesbrough.
Because he came from Bristol City.
Yeah. What number does Adam Ida wear for Celtic? You both got this right.
9.
It's 9. And who had more caps for Croatia, Perso or Jelovic? The answer was Jelovic. You got that wrong, Martin. So the winner of Beat the Pundit tonight is the one and only Hugh Keevans. Congratulations to you on his birthday
Thank
week.
You.
But Martin, I am going to send you a signed football. But for you to win this signed football, I'm going to send you as a wee wedding gift. You need to tell me who you believe is the better goal scoring striker. And the right answer will give you this football. The best goal-scoring striker Scotland have ever had. Is it McCoist or Dalglish?
That's only one answer, Dalglish.
You're not getting a football.
You should have been listening to the programme.
Yeah, he wasn't listening earlier, was he? He wasn't listening earlier. And yet, you're not getting this ball. I'm sorry, even though it's your wedding tomorrow, you should have said McCoist and I'd have sent it to you, but you didn't. You said Dalglish. Have a great wedding, though, and have a lovely day, my friend, and have a great
What's
night.
What's he going to do in his honeymoon if he can't play Keep You Up?
You'll be far busier than what he played Keep You Up at his wedding honeymoon.
It's okay. I was just kind of thrown out there, you know.
Martin, have a great night, my man. Have a great
Congratulations
wedding.
To you and Heather, Martin. Hope it goes well. Have a fantastic time.
Cheers, bud.
Bye-bye.
So now that I've still got a ball here.
Why don't you just send it to Ali?
Ali who? Ali McCoist.
Yeah.
I think he might have a few. After I think he scored a few hat tricks in his day.
I've got a football here that needs to be given away. Who wants it? Just give us a call on that number, 0141 951 1025. First person we get through on the phone will give you a football, a signed football. Who's going to... Actually, I've got two here. I'm going to give away 2 footballs tonight. Is that all right with you two?
And you know what happened? You did have a box full of them, but...
They've taken the box away.
Yeah, because you've got previous.
They've taken the box away, but I've stolen 2 at the box. So if you want these footballs, signed footballs, buy the top team here at Super Scoreboard. Give us a call on 0141... 951-1025 and the first couple of people we speak to, the answer is McCoist, and then you get the ball. We've got Josh on the phone. Hey, Josh.
Right, boys, how's it going?
Not too bad. So you want a ball?
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Right, I'll only give you a ball, and you're a Celtic man, aren't you?
I am, yeah, Celtic.
You need to say that Ali McCoist is the greatest goal scorer Scotland has ever seen.
I'll try to rephrase that. Ali McCoist is the best pundit that I've seen. There
you are. Best pundit. No, that's not. You can't bend the rules.
No, you can't bend the rules, mate.
It's straightforward.
It's my rules, mate. Play my game. You play my game, you get a ball.
All right, then. If you're forcing me to say it, Ali McCoish is the greatest ever Scottish striker.
Oh.
So there you go, mate. That ball is for you.
I've just embarrassed myself there.
Josh, you've taken your 30 pieces of silver, Josh.
Yeah. we'll get that ball sent to you. It's signed by the top boys here on Super Scoreboard. Mm-hmm. That'll be with you at some point in the not-too-distant future. And before you go, Scotland result tonight, what do you think will happen?
We should be going in with an all-fair attitude and fixating on getting the minor details right. We need 100% dedication, concentration and commitment across all facets. We're learning a lot by playing these teams, aren't we? The nation's A teams. We've built on a good draw against Portugal there. So I reckon we can pull it all together and maybe nick a 1-0. Sorry, joking it. A 1-0 win tonight, boys, to be honest with you.
He sounded like a football manager.
Honestly, he was far too articulate for this programme, wasn't he?
we were all looking at each other.
I'm doing myself. I'm going to get a dictionary just to figure out what Josh was saying there. Like
Steve Clark on helium.
Josh, thanks for that, my friend. Josh. And we'll get your details. Stay on the line. The producer will get your details. We'll send that Fitbot off to you. So I've got one more to give away. Just give us a call on 0141 951 1025. And we'll get to you shortly. Scotland playing tonight, 7:45 kickoff. We'll speak to Gavs just after the break. We'll also hear from Col Donaldson, the Falkirk captain. But what do you think tonight, Jim? What's your thoughts on the game tonight? Do we win? Do we?
I don't think we win.
We don't win.
No, I
we
don't. Think
don't win, Jim.
No, I don't. Because Jim. No, because I think Croatia's a better team.
And, Jim.
Well, they are. And I don't think we're playing with any great confidence. And I understand we had a better performance against Portugal, but I think we need to try and get over the line and get a result.
Home.
Yeah, I know. But listen, they've got a fantastic. We have a phenomenal support. You know, there are a number of key players back. But I think it'll be 1-1 if you actually ask me to score. I think it'll be a 1-1. And I don't think it's the worst result. But if you add it to all the other ones, because that would be 1-1 in 17 then it doesn't look fantastic.
I like the look of the team because it's fresh. And I think the 1-1 in 16, we've been jaded, the same old nonsense and the same old excuses from the manager. But I can understand Gilmour and McTominay, who are the Napoli connection now,
yeah,
top of Serie A,
mm-hmm,
clearly thriving on the experience. I like the fact that we're going to have Doak, Conley, Christie up front. It's fresh. We are playing top-class opposition, even though the main man's 39 years old. I think a draw for us would be a good result. My suspicion is it might be 2-1 Croatia.
2-1 Croatia, okay.
What's your prediction?
I fancy us to win the night. I don't know why.
But
I really
always
do
say that. And then you ranted and raved just before Germany took 5 off as well.
Okay. Why'd you have to remind me about what I said about Germany and Scotland?
I've spent my whole professional life with people reminding me of things that I should have not said.
I also said last week that Hearts would get a result against Rangers. Yeah.
Mm. Well, you would have done if the guy that
Vargas
hit the post instead of hitting the net.
Got Amanda on the phone. Amanda is in South Lanarkshire. Hello there, Amanda.
Hi there. Hi.
You're all right?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Good.
Have you phoned up to say anything in particular, or you just phoned up to get signed football?
Well, actually, my wee boy's sitting beside me and he's like, Mum, I'll phone for my phone and you phone for yours and we'll see if we can get through a bit. If we get through, you need to speak.
You've got to give Amanda the ball.
Got to give Amanda the
she's
ball.
She's got to agree with your request.
I've got a point to make.
But I'm going to give you the ball, but do you agree with me in the argument that we had earlier that Ali McCoy is a better goal scorer than Kenny Dalglish when it comes
absolutely
to Scotland?
Aye. Super Ali all the way.
Super Ali all the way, yeah.
Thought so. That's what I would want in that box, definitely.
Aye. And then what about your boy who sat next to you?
Yeah, Super Ali, Ollie.
Super Ali. Super Ali.
Okay.
So Ali, see Ollie. How old is Ollie?
Ollie's 10.
Ollie knows more than you, Hugh.
No. You are plumbing new depths of immaturity on this programme.
He's a goalkeeper, Ollie. So I don't know if you would be impressed with Super Ali scoring into him right enough.
Aye,
but,
true.
Ollie is of a higher intellect than you, a far higher intellect.
I'm sure he is.
Ollie can practice with the ball.
Mm-hmm. So, Amanda, Ollie, that signed football is yours. So, stay on the line and we'll get your details. But before you go, what do you want to say?
I don't know, what do we want to?
we wanted the boy. Are we talking about Scotland? Are we talking about Rangers? What are we talking about, Amanda?
Talk about Scotland.
Go on.
What do we think the Scotland score is going to be tonight, Ollie? You think? I think it's going to be close, but 2-1 Scotland. Yeah, we are going 2-1 Scotland.
Good stuff.
Go on then. Let me hear Ollie say that. Ollie, what do you think the score will be, wee man?
2-1 Scotland.
Good lad. Brilliant. Love it. Unlike these two negative Nancys.
Old.
Yeah.
Old.
Yeah.
Get a
Jack and Victor.
Old school. I think we've been about too long. Aye. It's like Cracker Jack. Somebody's old enough to remember that. I just think that we've seen too many false dawns, you'd be saying. That's the reason why we get a wee bit more pessimistic than some of the younger ones, like Ollie, who should be optimistic.
Yeah.
Yes, and we are optimistic. I certainly am optimistic, unlike these two who are sat next to me. Amanda, that sign ball's on its way to you. And when we return, we're going to be speaking to the Falkirk captain, Cole Donaldson, live on the show tonight, ahead of their game against Livingston tomorrow at the top of the Championship. And more from Gabs, our reporter who's at Hampden for the big one. It's Scotland versus Croatia, and you've heard it official here tonight on Super Scoreboard. Ali McCoys, better striker than Kenny Dalglish. It's official.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out our YouTube stream now. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hiya. It's Ewan Cameron here, in for Gordon Duncan tonight, ahead of Scotland against Croatia.
And don't we know it?
It's nice to the Nations League. You don't like it when I come in here, do you?
No. I am very, very happy to see you, but you don't have to talk rubbish.
That's why he's in here. Enjoying us talking rubbish.
I love you, Hugh. I've loved you for so long. So we've given away two footballs tonight, but my lucky number's three, so I think we should give away a third one before I leave here tonight at 8 o'clock.
Right, listen, producer took the box away with all the balls in it, because he knows what light you are.
Yeah, well, I can just say it and he's going to have to deliver.
He brought you an Ali McCoy's address and postcode and everything, so you know where you have to send it.
So before 8 o'clock tonight, I'm going to give away a third ball and there's nothing he can do about it. So if you want that ball, give us a call on 0141 951 1025, because three's my lucky number. So let's go with three balls to give away tonight. Before we get to Paul Donaldson, the Falkirk captain, they've got a big game tomorrow against Livingston. We're going to speak to him in just a second. First, it is a full-time teaser, and it's thanks to Lauren and Aloha for this. Can you name the six players to score the first goal for the top six in the Premiership this season?
Celtic, Aberdeen, Rangers, Dundee United. So the first player... No, the player that scored the very first goal for them this season.
That are in the top six right now. This is a nightmare of a question.
I
genuinely don't think you're getting any of these. Well, you might get one
Cyril
or two.
Cyril Dessers.
You've got that one. Cyril Dessers you've got. You've got five more to get.
Kyogo?
Nah. You've got five to get. Can you name the six players to score the first goal for the top six in the Premiership this season?
Jamie McGrath.
Aberdeen. No.
Duke.
No. I'll give you a clue to the Aberdeen player. We've talked about him tonight.
Nicky Devlin.
He scored Aberdeen's first goal in the Premiership. Yeah, he did. You've got Celtic, Dundee United, Motherwell and St Mirren. I think you'll...
Matt O'Reilly?
Nah. He was gone.
No, but did he not go? I thought the season had started before he'd left.
Matt Dyson made a...
Nah.
Nicholas Kuhn.
Nah. You're just going to go through the full 11, aren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll get the Celtic
Callum
player.
Callum McGregor.
Nah. Get the Celtic player and then we'll move on. Who's the Celtic player?
Rio Hatate.
Correct. So you've got three of the six. You've got Devlin, Hatate, and Dess. You've got three more to get from Dundee United, Motherwell, St Mirren. That's a cracking full-time teaser from Lauren in Alloa. Can you name the six players to score the first goal for the top six in the Premiership this season? Dundee United, Motherwell, St Mirren still to get. Okay, tomorrow in the Championship, huge game at the top of the table. Falkirk flying high at the moment. They're 6 points clear of Livingston. They play Livingston at Livingston with a chance to go 9 clear. We're delighted to have on the show with us tonight Falkirk captain Cole Donaldson. Good evening, Cole.
Good evening, Ewan. How are you?
Not too bad. Alongside me, we've got our very own Jack and Victor here at Super Scoreboard. Go and play the music. There we go.
Good stuff.
Jim Duffy and Hugh Keevans. Now, I know you're currently injured, Col, and it's a nightmare for you. Before we find out what you think of the game tomorrow, when are you actually going to be back in first-team action?
Hopefully not too long. I've been back doing work with the physio this week. That's the first week I've been back on the pitch, so starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but still a wee bit to go, probably another couple of weeks.
Do you not work with somebody that's connected to Jim Duffy at Falkirk?
No, what? My nephew's Gary Oliver.
I know somebody said something to me earlier about you. Is Gary Oliver's your nephew?
Yeah.
All right. So you all know Jim Duffy's nephew.
Yeah, of course.
I'd like to think so. He plays in the same team with Gary.
So, what do you think of Jim Duffy's nephew? What's he like as a player?
What's he about now? You better ask me.
You guys.
Aye, what's he like?
He's a great boy. I've known Gaz for years. Aye. He's done really well. I think he's second oldest now. So
he's 29 now. He just turned 29 July there, Colin. So that's what I'm saying. He's getting to that veteran stage soon. You can wind him up, even though he's got baby youthful looks.
Nah, he's doing really well. Gaz has been playing really well the last few weeks.
So big game tomorrow. You're at the top of the table. You're 6 points clear. I'm of the opinion now that it's a two-horse race for the championship title. Yeah. It's Livingston or it is Falkirk. I think Ayr have fallen away. There's too many draws in there, and I think they're too far back. And I don't think Partick will get there either. So this is a huge game for you tomorrow. And the way that John McGlynn, your manager, was talking during the week with the BBC, I think he's got in his head, if you win tomorrow, you've got one hand on the trophy.
Nah, you know the gaffer, and I think you're a wee bit wide of the mark there. I think he just realises how big a game it is, and I think both teams do as well. Listen to David Martindale speaking after his game last weekend, and he was speaking about the fact that we didn't have a midweek game, so he was already looking ahead to the game on Saturday. It's always a big game when first place second, and I don't think you're right to say that it's a two-horse race either. I think teams like Partick, Raith, Queen's Park will feel that they've still got a right good chance, and I'd agree with them. The championship's mental, do you know what I mean? Every team can beat every team, and a run of results can put you in a really good position really quickly, so those teams will definitely still have aspirations to win the league.
Best team you've played this season, Col?
I'm not entirely sure, Ewan. Livy probably stopped us doing what we do well the best. They're really well coached, Livy. I know a few of the coaches there, and I know that the work that they'll be putting in throughout the week in terms of like shaping like a defensive shape. So Livy probably stopped us doing what we like to do the best so far this season, but there's been a few good sides. Obviously, Raith beat us, so... they're the one team that's managed to beat us this year.
It's a fabulous tribute to your consistency, because you win League One, you come up, and what a story it would be. I've said it all season long, what a story it would be, back-to-back promotions with Falkirk back in the Premiership. Therefore, Col, you've got a level of consistency that the others can't match.
I'm not sure. I think Livy have lost one game as well, but like you say, the consistency is really good. I think the momentum that we built up last season, we spoke about it at the start of the year, it's difficult to find that in football. There's a lot more bad times than good times in football. So when you are going through a good spell, try and make it last as long as possible and use the momentum and stuff that you build up. And we've managed to do that. We had a good League Cup group stage, which we took into the start of the league. And now we're sort of 13 games into the league season, and we've started really well. But that's all it is. It's a start.
Well, still your squad. I mean, that's the reason why I looked at the start of the season and felt you'd be certainly favourites for me because of your goal scoring prowess. I mean, yourself missing out at this moment in time. You've got Callum Morrison. You've had McIver injured. You know, but your goals. You're scoring goals from all over the pitch. And I just feel that if you look at it on paper, I think the Falkirk squad is the most potent squad in the division. You're right, the championship is notoriously difficult. You're only a quarter of the way through it. Understand that. Livingston have got different types of ways of playing. And the one thing about David Martindale is he's been there before under David Hopkin when they worked there. They go back-to-back promotions a few years ago to the Premier League and then consolidated very well for about 6 years. So they have, he has got that experience and knowledge of grinding out results. But I think Falkirk and, I think since last year and this year, there's been a lot of consistency. John didn't dismantle the squad after getting promotion last year. He kept, 90-odd percent of the players and just added one or two. So, you guys, as you mentioned there, whether it's known Gary, you have all known each other now for a good few years. There's a good balance in your team, do you think?
Yeah, there is, and there's a huge positive to being able to keep your squad together. I remember the first game I actually played with Falkirk. We played Montrose, and I just remember thinking they just knew each other so well, just because that squad had stayed together for that amount of years, and the gaffer's really loyal. Do you know what I mean? He's rewarded boys with long term contracts, which you don't normally see at this level. Do you know what I mean? It's quite year to year, and there's not many 2 year deals, but the majority of the squad's even signed up for not only this year but next year as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that consistency's it's helped us. And you talk about goals from different areas of the park, it's true. I think we've got at least four wingers that all feel that they should be playing, so they sort of know there's that pressure on them that if they're in the team and then they're not producing, then they're going to come out. So just look at Ethan, for example. Ethan maybe didn't play as much games of football as he did like last season, and then he's coming this season at a higher level, and he was player of the month last season in the league. So the competition for places is really good, and that you'll know yourself that pushes better performances.
Oh, definitely.
Let me ask you, Hugh. Cole says he's not ruling out a Queen's Park or a Partick Thistle or an Ayr United at this stage in the season, because, as Jim alluded to, we're only a quarter through.
Yeah.
In your opinion, having been around the block on numerous occasions and followed Scottish football for a number of years, is it a two-horse race, or is Cole right to suggest that there are other teams that could make a move?
I think it's a two-horse race for this reason. I look at the league table and I see Ayr United 10 points behind Falkirk. And Ayr United side who went out of the Challenge Cup to East Kilbride. That wouldn't happen to a Falkirk. Partick Thistle are 12 points behind Falkirk. I think John McGlynn and Cole would be disappointed if a team who are now 12 points behind them overtook them. That would, to me, symbolise a collapse on Falkirk's part. I think if Falkirk go on the way they are doing now, constantly bearing in mind that Livingston are the main threat, I think if they get a result tomorrow and go 9 points ahead of Livingston, I would never say they've got one hand in the trophy, but what a tremendous psychological lift that would give you.
Yeah, it would be a very disappointing season, and it would be some collapse of a Partick Thistle or a Queen's Park where he catch you, Cole. You'd have to admit that. So that's why people are talking about you as possibly going straight up after your promotion from League One last year. And I know you won't want to talk about that, and I know you've got a lot of games to play, but you must be looking at league table and going, do you know what? This could be our year.
No, I mean, nothing's changed, Ewan, and it's boring. It's probably not the answer you want to hear, but our sort of mantle and the talk that we had at the start of the season was just generally to be as competitive as we can in each game, and I think we've done that really well. Even the game that we lost against Wraith, we created really good opportunities in that game. So nothing's changed for us. We look to win every week, and obviously the confidence in the groups, it's rising as you... Because there is that apprehension when you step up the level, sort of, would we be able to carry it on? So I think week on week, when we keep picking up decent results, the confidence is building in the group. But we need to make sure, and it's up to myself and other experienced boys in the group, that doesn't turn into an arrogance and we don't come across as that arrogant sort of thinking we've achieved things before we have. Because apart from sort of winning League One last season, we haven't achieved anything as a group this season.
Got you. And I look forward to that open top bus parade at the end of the season through the Falkirk Town Centre. I'll be there with my boys cheering you on, and you stood at the front of that bus holding that trophy aloft.
I thought you were going to say down Gorky Road there.
Oh, that'll be next season when you're playing Hearts.
Yes, we'll do
as
that.
If Hearts stay in the league.
Behave you. Cole, good luck tomorrow, mate, at Livingston. What an opportunity for you to go 9 points clear, and we'll speak to you soon, mate.
Thanks, mate. And happy birthday to you. And
I
have you had a big birthday this week.
Thank you, Cole.
Happy birthday, mate.
Very kind.
All the best. And keep working with the rehab. I know it's tough when you're in the rehab, particularly when you're desperate to go in that pitch. But the light at the end of the tunnel, mate, so you're nearly there.
Tell John McGlynn that I'm even older than he is.
Cheers, Col. All the best, mate.
Cheers, guys. Have a good show. Bye-bye.
Thank you. And we're going to speak to Aaron in just a second, and we'll also be going live to Hampden ahead of Scotland versus Croatia. Our reporter Gabs is there for us tonight. It is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's Friday night. Stay right there.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Watch as well as listen. Check out the Clyde One Facebook page now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening. Thanks so much for having us on. We're here until 8 on Clyde One Super Scoreboard alongside me tonight. If you've just joined us and you haven't heard, it's our very own Jack and Victor of Super Scoreboard. It is Hugh Keevans and Jim Duffy. Thanks for that, guys. Thank you.
My lawyers are listening.
What are you going to get them today?
It'll be slander.
Possibly. Yeah. See, Scotland are playing Croatia. Mm-hmm. We're about to hit kickoff, but before we get to kickoff, let's go to Hampden, speak to Gabs, who's there for us tonight. Do you want to remind us of the team news, Gabs, for those who have missed it?
Yes, I will, Ewan. Quickly, before the national anthems, just one change for Scotland. Tommy Conway in for the injured Shea Adams. So it's Gordon, Ralston, Hanley, Souter, Robertson, Gilmore, McLean, McTominay, Christy Doak and Conway.
OK, the national anthems are up and running at the National Stadium. We'll speak to Gabs in just a second once that's done. But we are looking forward to this game. I know it's only one win in 16 for Scotland under Steve Clarke, but we have played better opposition in this Nations League, and we haven't been embarrassed under any circumstances. And I'm pretty confident tonight that we're at home. We got a pick-me-up with a 0-0 draw against Portugal. And I thought we played well when we were in Lisbon. I thought we played well when we were against Croatia and we lost 2-1 and lucky not to get an equaliser when Shea Adams was offside. So I'm confident tonight. You're not, Hugh.
As I say, I think a draw would be a good result, given our form. You can talk all you like about that was a close call, this was a close call. It's still 1-16. A draw would be a good result for us. I'm happy to see Doak, Conway, Christie. I'm happy to see the Napoli duo, Gilmore and McTominay. I'm looking forward to it as a spectacle. Performances into points, that's been the Steve Clarke mantra all week long. Well,
Jim, do you still support Steve Clarke as a Scotland manager? Is he the right man to take us forward?
I think that it's something that's got to be looked at, you know, after this campaign finishes. I think you've got to look and see, has there been progress made? Is the club, is the country moving in the right direction? So I would give him, obviously, his next two games. And then I think there has to be a reassessment.
So if it is one point of view. A lot of people predicted it would be one win in 18. Mm-hmm. If that is the case, after the game against Poland on Monday, would you get shot of him?
I certainly think you would have to give it serious consideration. I think you would have.
But if you were in charge at the SFA, pick up the phone on Tuesday and go, Steve, come in for a meeting.
I would answer that question now, Ewan, because as I mentioned, you have to look and think, is there progress been made? Is there other things, you know, introducing young players? We mentioned Conway, Doak, etc. Is that something that the hierarchy believe is going to take us to the next level for the next campaign? And if you do, you stick by the manager. If you don't, then that's when you change it, because it gives the new manager time to prepare, because there's a number of months before the next campaign starts.
If we are told that football is a results-driven business and he ends up with one win in 18, then it would be illogical not to look at his position.
You'd make the phone call on the Tuesday morning after Poland if it goes that way.
My belief, though, is that the SFA are in awe of the manager.
Gabs is at Hampden. We're about to kick off. What's your feeling, Gabs? What are you hearing? Is there talk of looking at Steve Clarke's position if we don't win tonight and against Poland on Monday?
No, Ewan, Steve Clarke seems very secure in his position. It's fully expected that he will be given the World Cup qualification campaign in 2025, irrelevant of what happens in these next two matches against Croatia and Poland, but they are crucial. Of course, Scotland will want to avoid relegation from the Nations League and stay in the top tier. They also, if they win these two games, will have a better seeding for that qualification campaign next year. But perhaps most importantly, this is about just lifting the cloud and breaking the run of poor results. As you say, one win in 16 is nowhere near good enough for Clarke and his side. And perhaps most importantly, it's about getting the fans back on side and the players believing again that they can play these top nations like Croatia, like Poland, and beat them. And then hopefully in 2026 be playing at the World Cup in the USA, Canada and Mexico.
Just before I let you go, because I know it's about to kick off, are the fans up for it tonight?
Yeah, they certainly seem to be, despite the dreary weather here in the south side of Glasgow. It's pretty packed out at Hampden Park. We've just had a fancy new light show building up to kick off. And I think Hampden expects a draw, keep Scotland alive, but a victory would send Scotland to Warsaw on Monday with wind in their sails.
Gabs, at the National Stadium, Scotland versus Croatia is about to kick off. Very confident, fingers crossed we can get a victory or a result of some sort that keeps it going into the final game in the section. But it's a big night for Stevie Clark, big night for Scotland at home, the final Nations League game at home. Give us a call on 0141 951 1025. I've still got a football to give away. we've got Aaron on the phone. Hello there, Aaron.
Hello, evening guys, how are you?
Aaron, you need to be honest with me here, mate. Did you phone to say something about the Scotland game tonight, or have you just phoned to get a football?
I mean, a bit of both.
What have you really phoned for, be honest?
I mean, I phoned for the football, but I would love to Scotland as well.
So before we get to the football, what do you want to say about Scotland tonight, mate?
I think we've done it for quite a while, but I really don't like the fact that we keep playing players that don't play for the club.
And you're talking about Anthony Ralston?
Yeah, so Anthony Ralston, and then, I mean, Lyndon Dykes, I know he's injured tonight, but, not injured, he's not playing. It's Shea Adams that's injured, but, like, Lyndon Dykes doesn't play. Last season, he barely played for QPR, and he was starting games. Shea Adams was barely playing for Southampton. He's now at Torino and playing games, but there's all these players that just don't really play for the club. Even Grant Hanley, he barely plays for Norwich.
What's your thoughts on that, Jim, being a former manager yourself?
No, I think it's something in international football, again, as I mentioned, that for Scotland, when you've not got a huge pool of players to pick from, that you tend to do that. There's a number of... If you're at a top club, for instance, Ben Doak, right? If Ben Doak's at Liverpool and he's on the bench here and there and we don't select him, we'll get criticised. I criticised... I'm talking years ago on this programme that Billy Gilmore didn't get selected when he was at Chelsea, because I thought he was still the best midfielder that we had, even though he wasn't playing for Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depends on the clubs you're at, the level you're at and the competition in front of you, that doesn't mean you're not a good player. And also some of the guys that Aaron's mentioned there, you know, if we take Shea Adams and Lyndon Dykes out of our striking areas, who do we put in? You've got to have a solution to the problem. And so taking people out just adds to the problem. It doesn't solve the problem.
Sometimes, you know, in the case of Anthony Ralston, as I say, he's always the whipping boy, whether it's Celtic or Scotland, always the whipping boy. But there have been Kieran Tierney, for example, long-term injury. And we have lost other players.
Nathan
Patterson,
yeah, Aaron Hickey.
Yeah, so therefore, Steve Clark... Nicky Devlin's had one cameo appearance for Scotland. And as I say, I feel for him tonight. I thought he might have got a start. But Anthony Ralston knows himself, and everyone else knows, he's not the first choice, second, or maybe even third choice. He's second choice at Celtic every time. But he comes in and delivers an honest performance.
Aaron, for you to get the third and final signed football tonight, you have to do something for me.
Oh, Ali McCoyce is the best striker in Scotland.
I wasn't going to ask you to say that. I'm going to ask you to do something else for me.
He's okay. Volunteered.
I would like you, with Hugh Keevan celebrating his 75th birthday this week, I'd like you to sing happy birthday to Hugh. And if you do that, I'll send you that signed football.
I need to embarrass myself on national radio for it.
Aye, you need to sing to Hugh Keevan. Sing him happy birthday.
As long as you guys join in.
No, this is for you, mate. This is you. Hugh's winning the ball, not me.
The big stage.
Okay. The big Aaron. Stage is set, so here we go. Aaron, who is a St Mirren fan from Irvine, to get a signed football, is now going to sing happy birthday to Hugh Keevans, who's 75 years young.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Hugh Keevans. Happy birthday to you.
That deserves a ball. Well done, Aaron.
Thank you, Aaron.
You forgot one thing there. You forgot to do the three hip hip hoorays.
He's just taking it to
it there.
Go on.
Hip hip hooray!
Hurry. Well done, my friend. We will send you that signed football. Aaron. Stay on the line, Aaron. We'll get your details. We'll get that sent to you. Okay, my friend?
Thank you.
Cheers, bud. All the best, mate. That is Aaron. He's a St Mirren fan. He is from Irvine, and he's just sang on national radio for Hugh Keevans. That was nice, wasn't it?
A man very nearly... A man... Did you hear the programme Tuesday? A man was driving to visit his wife in hospital who had delivered their fourth... the lady in question had delivered their fourth child, four boys, and he said he was going to tell her that when he got to the hospital that he was calling him Hugh because it was my birthday.
Did they call the baby Hugh?
No, they had a late change of mind and it's now Jack.
It's Jack.
Of course.
But my wife was
saying... Jack and Victor, obviously.
I mean, my wife was saying, this poor woman is lying there having delivered the child to be told by this man... I've had a brainwave. We'll call him after Hugh Keevans.
In honour of Hugh Keevans. You've got the Wayne Shug.
Right, should we get back to the teaser before we call it a night here? Can we have the still game music for this, please, for our very own Jack and Victor here on Super Scoreboard? Thank you so much. Okay, so the full-time teaser, if you've just joined us, thanks to Lauren and Aloha for this. Can you name the six players to score the first goal for the top six in the Premiership this season? So we've got Aberdeen, you said Nicky Devlin, Celtic, Rio Hitati, we've got that, and we've also got Rangers with Cyril Dessers. We've got three more players to name from Dundee United, Motherwell and St Mirren.
Alex Gogic.
No.
Mark O'Hara.
No.
Dundee United, certainly. Sam Dolby, he's the one that's scoring all the goals.
Good player, but it's not the one that scored the first goal for Dundee United in the Premiership.
Kevin Holt.
No.
No,
I will give you a clue to the Dundee United player. New signing in the summer.
He signed about 10 players in the summer.
But he started really well. Is he Macedonian?
I was going to say that.
Is he Macedonian?
Oh, no, I know. It's not the Stipatopoulos or something.
No, he's at He's at Motherwell.
Oh, Motherwell. He's a striker at the Motherwell. Huh? Well, let's go for Motherwell. What about Sparrow?
Nah.
Jack Vale.
You're rubbish at this tonight.
Tell me the first goal scored. When was that?
It was the start of the season.
Exactly.
Aye, okay. So I'll give you a clue to the Motherwell player.
Lennon Miller.
Nah.
Andy Halliday.
No, I'll give you a clue. He's no playing tonight.
He's not playing tonight.
He's connected to somebody who's no playing tonight. There's somebody no playing tonight for Scotland. Who's on the bench tonight for Scotland?
Paul McGinn.
Paul McGinn, yes, scored the first goal for Motherwell. Aye, he did.
See what I mean? There's no
so
way
you got 1 minute
that.
Before we call it a night. Come on, need the Dundee United striker. I'll give you a clue.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know.
Right, so it's trap what?
Trap a ball.
Trapanovsky.
Trapanovsky, well done, Hugh Keevans. No, it's Trapanovsky, well done. And finally, St Mirren. His first name shares with a rat.
Roland.
Roland, yes. Second name.
Butter.
Roland Trotter.
Butter.
Butter.
Roland Butter. No. No, Roland.
No, I don't know the boy's name.
Roland Adubu.
Nah,
scored the first goal, so there you go. That was a crack of the night. It was really, really difficult, but thanks for that, Lauren in Alloa. Email us your questions, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. And while we were doing that, you were keeping an eye on the game. How was it going?
Well, Kenny McLean gave the ball away in the first few seconds, and Croatia probably should have done better, actually, but still 0-0 after about 7 minutes.
7 minutes played at the National Stadium, Scotland 0, Croatia 0. We've given away three signed footballs tonight. It's been a joy spending time with Jack and Victor here on Super Scoreboard. How long have I got, Producer John? I've got to speak for another 50 seconds with these two Muppets.
Right. 50 seconds? That's about another 49 seconds.
Well, we can fill that in.
Less than you normally
go
do.
Go on, you fill the next 48 seconds.
Kit Harvey's carried you for years, really. I mean,
you can shut your face now. I've got somebody saying happy birthday to you. That's been nice to you tonight.
I think I'm sure I've heard Kat actually impersonating Marilyn Monroe doing a happy birthday to somebody at Firhill one time.
Yeah. Right, okay.
So then, when she's back on the programme, you can ask her that.
Yeah, that was lovely. Just gone 5-2-8. Super Scoreboard will be back on Monday night with the one and only Gordon Duncan. I've got no idea who the guest will be, but Gordon Duncan will definitely be here. Good luck to Scotland tonight and on Monday for the game against Poland. Stand by. Good pal, love him dearly. George Bowie, GBX is next after Clyde Super Scoreboard. Take care. Good night. Wave to the cameras.
Is there no Callum Gallagher?
No, it's not. Wave.
Bye-bye.
Wave.